Thank you, Scott. Morning, everyone. And thanks again, Kayla. That was special music, as always, very much appreciated. You know, I made a mistake already today. I was supposed to speak first. And I asked Dan if I could go last, and you want to know why? Because I didn't want to be the guy to shortchange the next guy and his message. No, it'll work out. So we've heard it said many times that we live in a culture of poor moral character. I've mentioned that several times as in past messages. People in society today, they want to be able to talk the way they want, and they want to think how they want, and they want to be able to act how they want. And then they want everyone else to just accept all those practices and all those many different kinds of ideas of life because they're okay and no one has the right to judge me for them. The belief is this: no one has the right to judge between right and wrong. And by no means does anyone have the right to bring it to one's attention. I'm sure most of us have heard that said before, and I'm sure most of us have heard this: it's between me and God, you have no right to judge me. I've titled the sermon today, "To Judge or Not to Judge." And I'd like to open by sharing some popular quotes on judging. "Go ahead and judge me. Just remember to be perfect the rest of your life." "Stop being so judgmental. Everyone's different." "If I stop judging other people, I free myself from being judged." "We don't judge the people we love." "Love more, judge less." "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had the authority to judge me. Is Jesus hiring?" I thought that one was kind of funny. "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." "That's definitely not me, and I know it's not you, so shush." And for the last one, and we're all familiar with this one: "Judge not that you may not be judged." It's Matthew 7:1. But what better way to tell people to mind their own business than to quote Christ, right? Many people quote this scripture in the attempt to silencing those that are trying to bring a point out that there's a wrong behavior being displayed or lived. This is their proof, Matthew 7. No one has the right to tell me or us I'm wrong. So again, we often hear that we're not supposed to judge others. So are we not to judge? Is this idea biblical? This topic has become very controversial in the society we live in today. And sadly for some, it's becoming controversial even within the church today. I'd like to start by taking a brief look at some scriptures and see if we can support the idea of not judging, the idea that we're not supposed to judge. Let's begin in Matthew 7:1. Matthew 7, verse 1. Christ speaking, verse 1, "Judge not that you be not judged." Now we're going to quickly go through some scriptures because we're going to come back to a few of them later. So turn over now to Luke 6:37. Luke 6, verse 37. "Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven." And then John 8, verse 7. John 8, verse 7. And it reads, so when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he is without sin among you, let him throw the stone at her first. And then for our last one for now, John 12:47. John 12, just a few pages over. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. So there you have it. Proof we shouldn't judge. The five real quick verses, all seeming like we shouldn't judge. Or is it proof? Let's flip the coin now. Let's quickly go through a few other scriptures. Let's see what's on the other side of the coin. Let's start in Leviticus 19, verse 15. Leviticus 19, verse 15. The other side of the coin is judging, if we should judge. Verse 15, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. Judge your neighbor. That's interesting. We all know that the Bible can't contradict itself, right? So let's go to the New Testament and look at John 7, verse 24. John 7, verse 24. Again, Christ speaking, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And again, I know we're moving quickly here, but Luke 12, verse 57. Luke 12, verse 57. And again, Christ is speaking here. Yes, and why, even of yourselves, do you not judge what is right? So we have spent a little time here quickly reviewing some scriptures that appear to be saying two different things. One set of scriptures appears to say that we shouldn't judge, and another is showing us that we should judge. You know, many of the problems we face today is because we too often neglect to judge as we've been taught and instructed and should be doing. People simply just don't want to hear. They don't want to be told or instructed in what to do or how to act, or be shown that they might be off the path. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:15, you don't have to turn there, he who is spiritual judges all things. Aren't we working towards being spiritual? Isn't that part of our goal? See, Satan has convinced many that it's not right to judge. He hopes that we wouldn't judge, because he also knows that the right kind of judgment betters our lives and it helps us to develop righteousness. Before moving on, let's consider the word judge for a moment. Judge in the Greek is krino. Krino or krino, I didn't look that part up, but it's krino. And it means to discern or to decide. And the primary definition of discern is this: the ability to judge well. The ability to judge well. As Christians, we do have the responsibility of distinguishing between good and evil, right and wrong. We are to discern those things. And in Philippians 1:9, Paul prays this. He says, in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. The ability to judge well. So now, since we know that the Bible can't contradict itself, the context of the scriptures is important to consider. So let's go back to, and see if the scriptures we read earlier, some of the scriptures, we don't have time for them all, are in reality pointing to the same principle. Let's return to Matthew 7:1. Matthew 7:1. And this time we're not going to stop in just verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. So Matthew 7, starting in verse 1, "Judge not that you not that you be not judged." Excuse me, maybe that'll help me keep stumbling over my words. Or keep me from stumbling over my words. Verse 2. "For what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but not consider the speck in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look at the plank in your own eye?" Verse 5. "Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." You see, when we only read verse 1 of this passage, the popular belief is there's never a time for judgment. However, when we read all those verses together, we see that Christ is actually commenting on how to judge. What Christ is warning against and what we shouldn't do when we judge is being a hypocrite, hypocritical judgment. This is the kind of judgment that we are supposed to avoid. Luke 6:37, which we read earlier, is just simply a companion verse of the verses we just read, Matthew 7:1 through 5. So now what I want to do is take a look at a very well-known incident, and we can read about that in John 8:7. Let's go back there. We read one verse of that, but let's go back there and see and consider all of what happened there. John 8. We're going to begin in verse 1 this time and read through verse 11. "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought with them a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?' This they said, testing him, that they might have something to which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'Who is without sin among you? Let him throw the first stone.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst." Verse 10, "When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' And then verse 11, she said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.'" See, again, hypocrisy and self-righteousness is what's being addressed here. We all have sin. We all have struggles. So we have no right to condemn. That's God's place. That's the lesson being taught with the story. It's not that we can't judge a behavior because we are sinners too. If we read John 8:11 again, we see that there was a judgment made. the last part of verse 11, Christ told the woman, go and sin no more. That's the part that's most generally left out when we hear this passage defended or brought up. Go and sin no more. See, he didn't condemn her. He didn't come into this world to condemn. That's God's place. He came into the world to teach, to instruct, to save lives. But he passed judgment. He said, he judged the behavior. Go and do that no more. That's loving judgment. Christ didn't excuse her for that behavior. So hopefully now we've cleared up some misconceptions that some have made about these verses, and we can begin to see that there are judgments that can be made and some that definitely should be avoided. Hypocritical, self-righteous, condemning judgments should be avoided. That's not a right attitude, and it's not our place. However, judgments that instruct and teaches and promotes growth in righteousness should be practiced. That's part of being a Christian. That's part of loving our brothers and sisters. That's part of loving our neighbor. The culture and times we live in, brethren, both empowered by Satan's direction, has blinded many to the need and value of loving, righteous judgment. It's a good tool. It's not a negative tool. Anyone who wants to live righteously in a way that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father should see and accept the teaching of Scripture over the teaching of the world we live in. We shouldn't be interested more in the human standards of what we should and should be doing than we should be of God's. Although we can clearly see that there are ways we should avoid judging, Scripture does not support the idea that we should never judge. There are times we must judge. We have to judge every day, hundreds of times a day. When we teach and correct and instruct our children, aren't we first judging an action? Or how about our coworkers, if we're managers and supervisors? We're making judgment calls all day on how we are to get things done, or how we might have had to do something to get things done or achieve our goals. Our goals is to be in the kingdom of God, to be in God's family. And there are standards that have to be met in order for that to happen. Christ said in John 7:24, judge with righteous judgment. Brethren, there is a difference between judging people and judging people's behavior. We don't judge the person, but we may judge the behavior. In Timothy, we're told, from such turn away. Turn away from those who are doing wrong, living wrong. How can we do that unless we're able to judge the behaviors of those who we're supposed to turn away from? We know that we're not to condemn, but we are to discern, to judge well between good and evil, right and wrong, sin and righteousness, all as defined by God's word. The word judge tends to have a negative sound to it. When people hear the term judge, we tend to automatically think the harsh side of that word, or that you're condemning me. We're not condemning anyone when we're trying to be helpful. That's not our job. That's God's job. We know that. But we have to remember that the reality is that we should perceive and hear the call to judge well and do it with the right intentions. Remember, the definition of discernment is the ability to judge well. If we're not to judge, then why do we need to worry about judging well? Why do we need to discern? It would be irrelevant, would it not? Let's start wrapping things up and turn to Malachi 3, verse 18. You know, we're living in an age today where God's word has little or no impact on the way society conducts itself. But us, the church, is responsible for living to a higher standard. And that sometimes requires us to judge conduct and behaviors and other inappropriate actions. Verse 18 says, "Then you shall again discern." Remember the definition of discern. The primary definition is to judge well between righteous and the righteous and the wicked, between right and wrong, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. Judging appropriately is loving our neighbor. It's loving our brothers and sisters. Let's turn to James 5. James 5, we'll read verses 19 and 20. James 5, verse 19, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." How would this be possible if we first did not judge the action? This is a good thing. It's not a negative thing. It's a building tool. We are to be separate from the world, not blended in with it. If we don't live by God's standards, then we're becoming the world around us. And we know, and we've been taught, and we've been told, and we can prove in Scripture that we're not to be like the world. We're to be separate from the world. Society says we have no right to judge, but I believe that we've seen today that there are times that we should appropriately judge. Let's remember also, as we are reminded in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, that we should not forget to judge ourselves as well. Have a great Sabbath.